Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry. Good evening and welcome. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is March the 5th, 2022, and you're tuned into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Michael Gay, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And people ask me, how come your theme, your opening theme of your show was so long? Well, it gives people time to look at Blog Talk Radio, give them time to, you know, get together to listen to the show, give them time to, you know, just basically tune in, okay? So that's how come I did that. By the way, that theme song is from Mr. Joe Foxworth, a former member of a Motown recording group, Ozone. Y'all remember Ozone? You don't. Oh, man, they had one of the biggest hits of the earlier days. I'm going to be honest, the earlier days. And it was called Strip My Thing. Classic, classic tune, okay? But I'm thankful that Mr. Foxworth, we were in a conversation. He said, man, I got a track that would be perfect for your show. And he shared it with me. And I was like, man, I love that. And so, guess what? It became the theme because the track is called Conversation Piece. And every Saturday, that's what we do. We have conversations here on the show. And I'm so thankful that all of you, all my co-hosts, all the listeners around the world that tune in, I'm thankful that you join us each time. By the way, if you don't remember Ozone, let me give you a little clip of their hit single on the Motown label. Check this one out. Y'all remember that? You don't? Oh, okay, well, go back to the archives. That was Ozone with Struck My Thing. I just wanted to give you a little clip of it. But Joe Foxworth, keyboardist, vocalist for the group Ozone on the Motown label, actually gave us this track that opens the show for the TMGS. And the actual name of the track is Conversation Piece. So thanks to Joe Foxworth. And I see my co-hosts are popping up on the board. I'm going to go to the lady of the house and say happy Saturday to the one and only Janet Pollock Hawkins.
Yes, I'm really going to change my name.
We're going to change it. That's me. Janet Pollock Hawkins. Davis.
Yeah, but that's because of the family page. With
okay.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of folks
use
their middle names, their maiden names, their married names, and they put it all together, and it sounds so good. You know what I'm saying? I guess, you know.
Yeah, well, that's my mother's maiden name, and then my name, and then my marriage name. So that's why it's three names.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. It's just, you know, nobody don't normally say that. Only Michael Gay.
Right, exactly. I can be different. And then I want to open up the mic to, I believe this is the lady from Casey. And her name is Casey with a K. Cotton. K.C. Campbell.
Hey, Cotton. Hey, everybody. I'm going to have you do my introductions again. I like that introduction. Like, y'all hold on. I need to put that on my voicemail so when people call, they be like.
You have reached
K.C.
Cotton.
From K.C.
K.C. Campbell. Right.
She ready.
Hello, hello, hello. And yes. We got another co-host. And I got to open up his mic because this brother, I love Lee Thompson. He doesn't have a whole 2 hours with us because he's always busy. But this is the one and only. Timing. Mike, you starting some shit now. Timing.
Hey, Mike. Janet, everybody, Cotton,
hey.
Mike is whatever Mike
well, that's what you say to me now. You say you starting some shit now, Mike. You starting something up.
Something in your coffee. You're putting something in your coffee.
What's happening?
You're a little bit too happy on Saturday, Mike. What you doing?
Oh, no. I'm happy every Saturday. I'm happy every Saturday because I get a chance to talk and discuss things with this amazing crew. So I'm happy. Yes, I am. Does that sound like a lot? No, seriously. I'm always happy every Saturday. I look forward to our conversations because you never know what's going to be shared and who our guests are. That's how we call ourselves a variety show, because every week you don't know what to expect. You know, the topics, the subjects, the guests, you know, we do try our best to get out the information, but sometimes things come at the last moment, and me and Janet will get into it about how you know, and she'll get on me about, like, you wait until the last minute for me to make this flyer, and then I talk to the guests, be like, well, I can't do it this day, and I got to go back to Janet, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and I really do enjoy it. I see a lot of folks here on the board, which I see is building up, which is great, fantastic. So this Saturday, we don't have a special guest, but we do have some great topics to talk about. Of course, we're going to talk about a little bit of politics. You know, of course, we have to look at the situation in Ukraine and Russia, the conflict, I should say, between the two. Also, we're going to look at court cases. You guys know by now that I've always been a man of my word. Court cases that you heard about 2-3 years ago, amazing, whereas some cases have taken over 8 years to finally come to trial. But we forget about it. And there's some of them that have been that have gone to trial this past week or two, and the outcome of the verdicts are very surprising to some folks, but to some folks it was expected. You know, we don't follow up, and the thing for me, it's where if we don't follow up, we're not going to know what's going to happen in the future when it comes to certain things that are law, you know what I mean, and the outcome. If you follow what I mean, it's very important. So first of all, we're going to go with, I want us to really deal with the political thing now, and then we'll get into the other topic. I want to get into this war. Some folks say that this is a precursor to World War III. Now, I was listening to another show earlier this evening, and it was interesting, their points of view. But I just want to throw these things out and get everybody's response. And by the way, if you're listening and you're on the board, if you have a question or comment, you can hit the number one, open up your mic if you want to respond. Please make sure you don't have any background noise for the quality and the integrity of the show. When you're not talking, put yourself on mute. If you're listening to us on the internet, and I have to open up the chat room, and you don't want to talk live, by calling in to the show, which the number is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. If you don't want to talk live, that's fine. You can post your question or comment. I will put it, I will actually try to share your question or comment during the show, or you can go to the chat room, as I said, and post it there. And that's all we can do. So the war in Ukraine, I want to go to timing first. What's your point, or I'm sorry, what's your, what do you think is the reason for this war? According to Vladimir Putin, what I read before is that where there was complaints about the people in Ukraine, in eastern Ukraine, look at that's the area that they attacked, were not with the Ukrainian government. That's what I read earlier. Ukrainian government says that's not true. So now we're at war. What I find interesting is what's happening during this war is the fact that the Russian tanks are running out of gas. They have no food, and the Ukrainians are helping them. Okay, but Tommy, what do you think is the reason for this war?
The reason why the war is happening is because you know, back in the day, Vladimir Putin is trying to bring Russia, like Crimea and all these other countries, back to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the wall came down, back when Reagan had Boris Yeltsin to tear down that wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once he had him do that, those countries became independent. So also Vladimir Putin, the Russian people signed a letter, they put a letter together that the country would be independent and that they would give up they would have to give up their nuclear weapons, which they did. Putin has now decided to, you know, renege on the letter, on the deal that was given, and he wants to take, you know, Russia, he wants to take Ukraine and Crimea back. Also, Ukraine has a lot of minerals. They have a lot of oil. They have a lot of, they have great agriculture. They have also, as you know, Chernobyl is over there too. So that's why they're telling about this. So they have a lot of different things that would be the Russian. Now, right now, the ruble isn't worth shit right now. What we're doing to them and the restraints we're putting on them, you may not see it right away, but it's already hurting their country, you know. And so they're trying to, you know, because we don't want to, there will be no war. I mean, there will be no nuclear anything. Because if anybody knew anybody, okay,
it's in the world.
It will transfer to everybody in the world. See, the problem with nuclear now, you can't go nuclear. You can't spread that radiation because if that cloud travels, you're just going to be taking out people. People are gonna die.
Right.
Not just
exactly.
People say, "Oh, I'm just gonna shoot. I'm gonna shoot Ukraine." It's gonna travel.
Right.
Just like when they had that tsunami out there in Japan.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say this. I mean, and not to be rude towards you, sir, but the things that I understand what you're saying because it's just like a volcano that erupts. When you look at a volcano that erupts miles away. And the ashes fall, you know, 50, 60 miles away, that's the same effect that a nuclear fallout will do, right? So, right, it
will
travel.
Well, this will not be Nagasaki. Okay, today is way more powerful than Nagasaki. You don't want to do that.
It could come back to affect your country, right? It will kill millions of your folks, depending on how the wind blows. Let me move this forward to Janet Davis. What's your thought process on what's going on?
Well, I agree with Timon, but I also heard on the news about dirty bombs. And when Russia took over the Chernobyl, the first thing I thought about was maybe they're trying to drop some bombs with some of that radiation. You know, you never know. But Putin, I think he didn't really think it completely through when he decided to invade and take over two of the cities that he claimed were needing his help. And that was just a way for him to get in, you know, because those cities wasn't asking for help. You know,
right.
At least that's what I've been seeing on TV, you know, so I just hope this is not going to be the war to end all wars, you know. I agree with
that. And you know, and you're right, because that's what I've seen. Now, a lot of folks say, don't believe the media, don't believe the media, this, that, and the other. But think about this, though, and I want to get Cotton's point of view, too. But they say, don't believe the media. But Russian media is controlled by the Russian president. We got to keep in mind there's a difference between a country that has a democracy and a country that has dictatorship. Vladimir Putin has been running that country for two decades. He's former KGB. And if you know your history, back when it was the USSR, when all those countries were all together, they were under the KGB. They were under Russian rule. They controlled everything. Now, even now, whatever the Russian people are being shared is being monitored, being dissected. And if you think that in the United States is bad, imagine there. Same thing with North Korea. Same thing. China, same thing. It's a dictatorship. Dictatorship rule. And I'm getting some texts that's coming in. But before I read those texts, I want to go to Cotton. Cotton, you have any input on this topic? What do you think?
I haven't really been following it, but I did watch a little bit today where there was a elderly man that they opened fire on, that protester. It was a protester that they opened fire on. It's like, is it that serious? And he didn't have a gun or anything like that, but I was like, this is really out of hand. I think it's more than what it should be right now. Like, I think it could have been resolved differently, but now people are being murdered and killed, you know, and it's crazy to see that on TV where the military is shooting people point blank, and they're not even armed.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something else?
Sure. Go right ahead.
I think Putin also thought that the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, was going to be like what happened in Afghanistan, and thought he was going to go run and hide somewhere, you know. But it didn't happen that way, and I think that really it probably shocked him, you know, because he was expecting the opposite of what actually happened. And it's not just Ukraine and the cities all around and within that area, but Russia and people all over the world are in some ways protesting about this war, you know. So I just want to give that little tidbit.
Okay. That's very true. I got some more I want to add, but I definitely want you guys a chance because I've been criticized of always taking over the conversation. So I'm going to shut the hell up. But I posed the question, but I got some more that I'm pretty sure you guys are aware of. I want to go back to Timon and ask him. Now, you said that this is the reason why this war had started, that don't follow things and don't understand things are trying to understand how come the United States is not intervening, right? And what I find interesting is that every country is depending on another country for some goods and everything. President Biden's poll numbers have gone down, okay, not due to just the war and also his numbers have gone down due to the economy and everything. Now, just recently, he did the State of the Union. Surprisingly, there were times he made some comments and said some things, and the Republicans did get up and applaud. Now, I didn't see the whole thing. Janet, I think you did. But here's the thing, is that his numbers are being down, okay? Is Biden really as weak as Republicans claim he is? Or is he really stuck with a situation that was already in place before he became president, and then he's dealing with a hot plate of issues? Also, the last thing I want to say, when it comes to NATO, you know, that's where, you know, there's countries that are part of NATO, but Ukraine is not. You have to meet a certain criteria to be part of NATO. Ukraine did not meet that deadline. And Putin, being who he is, was smart enough to go ahead and start this war against a country that is not part of NATO. And that's why the United States and other countries that are in NATO are not intervening military-wise, okay? But some folks think that we should, even though they're not part of NATO. What's your thoughts on that?
They are part of NATO, signed on. They did sign, especially after Putin attacked
Ukraine.
So now
part of NATO
they are part of NATO. Yep.
Okay, so won't that go into effect?
Also, so we are not going to intervene Because it I'm sorry,
but when did they sign on to be part of NATO? Before
they
this war started?
No, they signed it after he started that war against them.
Okay,
see,
okay,
that's
okay.
What he was
so
worried about. And,
okay, what? So I'm sorry. So the thing is that prior to the war, Ukraine was
not
part of NATO.
He was worried about them getting. He was worried about them joining NATO.
Correct.
Okay?
We all know that. Right.
But now that you attack, it was the same thing. The reason why Trump tried to hold them hostage with the money, they knew that Ukraine needed that money to protect themselves because they knew eventually Russia was going to try and mess with them. So that's why they wanted that money, and Trump held them hostage. And they didn't want them to join NATO. They hadn't even signed up for NATO. They were thinking about it. So they turned – once they were attacked, they went and the president of Ukraine signed to join NATO. So that's why you see what's happening financially around the world. They're getting hit double whammy. They are shutting down Russia. They are shutting them down. Now, the reason why NATO that they will – now, NATO army can go against them, okay, but they are not going to send any American troops into that mess. Because they can, and matter of fact, Ukraine told them, we don't need you. Just give us the military stuff we need, and we'll do it ourselves. We ain't got no problem with that. They're willing to fight for their deal, but they're not because if they see America, like they want to do that no fly thing, that's an instant nuclear war. Immediately, it will happen. That's what we're trying to avoid.
So
that asshole don't care about what he does. You got to do ruthless. He will take. He will try to destroy it. If he can't have what he wants, he'll destroy it all.
Okay, so let me go ahead and run down some texts that I'm getting from a person who's listening in. They're texting me direct to my phone, and I appreciate her because she's a strong supporter of the TMGS. So what she says here is Putin is not going to stop until he gets what he wants. Okay, which we already talked about. That. He wants the former USSR back. Okay, unfortunately, there are going to be casualties, but Putin is not going to stop. He is good. I think. Hold on. Let me see if I'm saying this. It's good that the other countries that are among together to hurt Putin other ways. There is more than one way to win a war. We should not join the war, just do exactly what we are doing. Stop the money. Biden is not being weak. He is being smart. That guy speaking now is correct. I guess she means you. Money and powers. He is right. Biden is not worried about ratings. Okay, so, I mean, that's interesting because, you know, you want to work out issues like this in a diplomatic way and not necessarily by a military way, correct? But I was not aware, you know, and I learn something new every Saturday when we do these shows. You said that Ukraine is now part of NATO, which is recent. Am I right?
Yeah.
But initially they weren't because there were some issues with Ukraine and they had to get to a level because there's like three or four different things you have to make sure are in line, which I read an article on that, in order to be part of NATO. But it took Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine for NATO to go ahead and allow Ukraine to become part of the United Nations. That's what I'm reading into. So now that they are, what will NATO do in order to protect Ukraine at this point?
They'll do exactly what they're doing. They're going to give them all the supplies that they need. They've also provided money. They will give them everything that they need, but they will not send them any American troops or anything like that.
Right.
They're getting everything.
Okay.
And they, I mean, you got countries all around the world coming to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in good hands. They're in good hands. And they're going to put it all together. And Biden is not being weak because there's nothing else to do. Even the Republicans are backing him on how he's dealing with Trump.
Okay.
Biden
go ahead, Janet, and then I want to open up a mic. But go ahead.
Well, one of the things I want to say, Biden is not weak. He has done more than the last few presidents have ever thought of doing. And less in a year, within the time he's been in office, he has done a lot. You know, and so people need to start really recognizing all the things that he did. It's just a political thing with the Republicans. They want to be negative so that to try and be able to take over the House and the Senate. But I don't think that's going to happen either. Another thing, I know that Ukraine did apply to be part of NATO, but it wasn't official yet that they are. And that's why another reason why Putin is acting like he is, because he really don't want that country to be part, that close to him, to be part of the Western part of the world, you know, with democracy. And because his people are going to be in an uprising if they see how they see how people in Ukraine were doing. You know, they had freedom. They were coming and going as they pleased. Then, you know, they weren't under a dictatorship.
Okay, but you know what? The thing is that Biden's poll numbers have dropped. Based on not just due to the policies as far as world goes, but just with the economy here in the United States, gas prices and this and that, inflation overall, right? Okay, because you could break it all down. His numbers have dropped dramatically, and I saw that coming, you know, and. People are wondering, well, anytime there's war, it happens. Whether the war, I don't know who that is, but if you are not speaking, please put yourself on mute so that your sound effects do not interrupt the show. Thank you. But anytime there's something that is happening anywhere in the world that affects the United States, as we already know that. There was the issue of where the ships that were out there in the ports in California and other areas where product is not being unloaded. People looking for jobs, but no one got a job unloading these ships of stuff that we need, the food, the products that we, you know, want. You know, I don't understand that one. But back to the point, when it comes to this here now, of where Ukraine is now part of NATO, and we're looking at a possible World War III. Hopefully, it would not get too bad. But how do you look at Biden and blame him for everything that's going on when it is a ripple effect? And every country is dependent on each other. That's the thing that gets me. We are dependent on China. Russia's dependent on us for goods. Biden has put in place some things to, you know, in trade and this and the other, some sanctions and everything. You know, we all depend on each other. But this bullshit keeps going on, you know. How does that ever change? And then I want to ask you guys about another thing of where there are individuals in Ukraine who are trying to leave, predominantly students and individuals from other countries that were there for their education. It's been reported that they're not allowed to get on the trains. African students and students of color are being denied access to get out of the country. These are civilians. And I think you've seen the videos. If you haven't, then you need to pay attention. And they're being told, no, you can't get on this train as this, you know, as this goes on. What's your thoughts about that? And I see some hands that are being waved. I want to go ahead and ask that question, but I want to open up a mic and then come back to everyone. Keep that in mind of a question. I want to see what 414968 has to say. Welcome to TNGS. What's your question or comment? And where are you calling from, and what is your name? 414-698, are you there? Open up your mic, 414-698.
Hit the number one.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, did they have to hit the number one or something?
Yeah, I was just telling them, hit the number one to open up your mic if they have their hand waved. 414, going once, going twice. Okay, they're not responding, so I'm going to put them on mute real quick. Let me see. Okay, so based on what I just said, 414, you just really interrupted my flow here, but that's cool. You waved your hand. I opened up your mic. You didn't speak. Don't hit the number one again. All right, I'll open up your mic when, you know, you might be able to talk. Okay, so but what I just said, I mean, how is it that Biden's ratings have gone down? But as you said, when you and I were talking, that, you know.
But Mike, his ratings got an 8% bump. It's up to 47% since the State of the Union.
Since the State of the Union address, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he was really low.
It went up 27 points by the independents. By Democrats, and 17% with the independents.
Okay. I'm going to try 414 again, give them the chance since they open up their mic. 414, that's your area code. You remember your area code? Your prefix is 698. We've opened up your mic. You have a question or comment? Okay, I guess not. But I'm going to leave them alone for the rest of the night. All right, so let me see here. Okay, so, Timon, you still there?
Can you hear me, Mike?
Timon? Yeah, now I
can. Yeah, can you hear me?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so what do you think about this thing about Biden's ratings, especially during this time? And again, you know, I'm hearing some folks saying, well, Biden's weak. He's, you know, this and that and the other. And also, let's keep in mind that former President Donald Trump said that Vladimir Putin made a smart move. Now, I had a debate with a person. They said, well, Putin is smart. I said, yeah, he's smart. He said a smart move. It's not the right thing to do. But, I mean, come on now. And we got to remember that Donald Trump, former president Donald Trump, was buddy-buddy with a lot of dictators. So what's your thought, first of all, and then what I just said is about, imagine if Donald Trump was the president at this point in time in history.
Okay. Now, as far as Biden's numbers being low, his numbers, I mean, the dude's only been in office a year, okay? He ain't been in there 2-3 years. He's been dealing with a pandemic because, Americans are very fickle, and they want stuff to happen lickety-split. You got folks that are putting out disinformation, you know. To me, I don't think he's weak. I believe that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is dealing with homeboy, dealing with the pandemic. Everybody done told you now, you ain't got to wear your mask. You don't want to know all the mask mandates, all your southern states, you know, the Rick DeSantis and everything, and the guys who are selling you all this critical race theory crap and all that. That's these guys, look, they don't understand. If Biden fails, we all fail. So if you want your president to go down in flames, you worry about ratings? How can you rate somebody when you're dealing with a pandemic? When you got people that don't want to wear a mask? You got a fool over in a country that's decided he wants to take a country. You got North Korea who is still shooting off rockets, but you need to understand about them. None of those rockets are nuclear because they don't want a war either. China's got them right where they want. Nobody is going to touch that button and shoot off a nuclear war because no one's going to make it. So you can throw all that weak stuff and you can say, oh, well, he's a 41 over here. He's a 45. Bruh, he's still got two more. He's got three more years to go. 3 years. And a lot can happen in 3 years to get this man back, to get this country back on track. You need to understand, Mike, our job, looking at the job situation, unemployment is the lowest it's ever been.
That's right.
Okay? So if unemployment is low, but you got to remember, if you inject money into the economy, the corporations are going to screw you and turn around and jack the prices up and inflate them.
Oh.
Whatever you do for the people are going to, they're going to take it away. Say, like Target says, they're going to take their and raise wages to $24 an hour, right? So guess what they're going to do? Yeah, you're going to get $24 an hour, but they're going to raise your prices.
On your product. In price, right.
On your product. You ain't getting no deal. If it was $15 an hour, they're going to raise it up on you. Everybody knows
trust
the game.
I know because I know of certain – you know what got me was I saw where the prices of ink cartridges – has gone up as high as $4 to $5 for one cartridge. Okay, now, and I'm looking at this. I'm like, wait a minute, it went up $5 for this ink cartridge. And we, whoever that has a business, has their own printer at home or whatever, you know, that's a heavy increase. Depending on how much you use your equipment, right? You know, you can estimate that. Based on whatever project you have, well, I have enough ink to do this, that, and the other. It depends on what your project is, right? And I started thinking, hell, you might as well go ahead and get some crayons and draw this shit out, okay? Now, because the cost of ink is extremely high.
Mike said, they can't keep selling me on.
$40 to $50 just for one pocket. $40 to $50 for one pocket.
You can't keep selling the American public on telling them that there's traffic jams and getting product. That's not going to fly. That's no reason to keep. You can't keep telling me that, oh, because the oil went up over in Ukraine when America doesn't even depend on Ukraine. Oil over in Russia. We don't depend on oil in Russia. That has nothing to do with us. But you're trying to tell me that, hey, you know, that, you know, you're going to raise my prices because of this. No, that's you burning the American consumer. You always go after the consumer. If those interest rates go up,
it's called greed.
Rates go up and the houses and the housing market starts to fall.
It's called greed.
If the interest rates go up, the housing market will start to fall because the prices have to come down. You can't keep that up. You can't keep doing it. It ain't going to work.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not buying it.
Right. Hey, I want to go ahead and just share with you guys what's coming up in the chat room. And there's an individual here. I appreciate them for chiming in. Hold on a minute. I'm going to make sure. They said Biden is not worried about ratings. I agree. Biden is not paying attention to the Republican bullies. Name a president who hasn't had low poll numbers. They are going to take care of their own first. So I think they were talking about another part. They're chiming in, you know, in certain parts of our conversation. And so I'm catching it on the tail end. So I want to go ahead and change topics real quick. And I see other folks here on the board. Hey, you guys, you know your mother. Welcome. Go ahead to number one. Again, you're welcome to join the chat room. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TNGS. It's not really hard to join the chat room if you don't want to talk on the air. I can see your comments and questions on the board, and I can read them from there. It's much easier for me, to be honest. All right, so as I try to say, we've got to shift gears here because, you know, 2 hours goes by so fast, and we're almost at the top of the hour. We have 15 more minutes before we get to the top of the hour of the show. Janet, what was the next thing that we were saying in the itinerary? We said, we already covered the part about black people facing racism trying to leave Ukraine. But now I really want to change the whole thing and go to court cases. You know, mm-hmm. I've always promised that on this show we will follow up on crimes or cases that might have happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. We are finding cases that have not gone to court until 8 years later.
Mm-hmm.
8 years later. excuse me, but for you guys who don't know, there are cases that actually took 8 years to come to trial. The one was the popcorn movie murder of former officer sergeant shot and killed an individual for throwing a bag of popcorn at him. This officer was found not guilty. At the time, he was 71 years old. And 8 years later, he goes to court and he's found not guilty for killing him. Only one man who threw a bag of popcorn. Now, they'll tell you that this officer was standing his ground. Let's look at the stand your ground again. We never knew about that term, stand your ground, until the Trayvon Martin case. I don't think many folks ever spoke about it. You may have known it in your state. But this case actually brought it to the forefront. A young black man was shot and murdered by a white guy named George Zimmerman, who was told to not pursue the individual. But he did anyway, and he was found not guilty for murder. But guess what? Stand your ground is something that people are using for the defense, for their defense, on almost everything in the states that do have that on the books. Florida is really the state that, I mean, a lot of the cases are coming upon. Georgia has a stand your ground law. We just saw recently of where three individuals were found guilty of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder, where am I getting to? I'm getting to the fact of where, when we see these type of cases come up, because here's another one, where a black young man had pleaded stand your ground, and he lost that plea. And now his case is going to court. believe his name is Marcus Wilson, right, Janet?
Yeah.
Where he, this is in Georgia now, Southern State. He felt like he's being threatened. The individuals allegedly tried to run him off the road. According to him, they blurted out some racial epithets, and the vehicle, the truck with a bunch of occupants went in front of him and everything, and he shot at the truck. The bullet penetrated the window and killed a 17-year-old girl. Now, here's the thing. Marcus Wilson has a white girlfriend. So where did the racial epithets derive from? I'm just speculating. Here's a black man with a white woman on the highway. Racial epithets. Here's some young teens in a truck, which later on was proven that they had a cooler of beers, so they might be intoxicated, right? But this black man was in fear of his life, like anybody else who claims standing their ground, not knowing what might have happened. He's been in jail ever since that situation. And then today, I think, or yesterday, no, yesterday, he was given a bond to finally get out of jail. So my question is this. When it comes to stand your ground, I mean, what really is stand your ground? If you're up against a person that is unarmed, there's no weapon brandished, there's no knife, there's no gun, no nothing. You're just in fear for your life because a person is, looks bigger than you, that they could overpower you. Is that standing your ground, but you got a gun and you shoot them dead? You look at the case that just happened, if you guys follow it, but I'm going to tell you. An officer was in court this past week, not for the murder of Breonna Taylor, but for the fact that he shot into a window of the next-door neighbor, okay, which is wanton endangerment. He was found not guilty, but every news media will Breonna Taylor's name attach it to that case. He is not being tried for the murder of Breonna Taylor, but every news outlet put Breonna Taylor's name to it, and they call it the botched raid of Breonna Taylor. Officer shoots into the wrong apartment, but they still said the botched raid of Breonna Taylor. You're not charging him for her murder, and he was found not guilty. At what point, and here's the scary thing to me, at what point is somebody being held accountable for the death of an unarmed individual who was not trying to harm you? At what point do these people just die in vain? Who's held accountable? There's no justice for them. An individual last week, or I'm sorry, Janet, it was 2 weeks ago, right, had came to my chat room, and I posed a question, and they said, Breonna Taylor is responsible for her own death. What the fuck are you talking about? And I challenged him to come back on the show and tell me, how is an unarmed person responsible for their own murder? No one's responsible for the death of Breonna Taylor. Nobody. Nobody's responsible. Now, I'm thinking they're trying to say, oh, well, the company that she kept. Okay, let's look at that in the past tense. They were looking for an individual who, whatever crime, he committed murder, whatever. But it's up to the police to make sure that when they investigate, they got the shit in order. They got their facts straight. And obviously, that's why they call it a botched trial. I'm sorry, a botched raid. They did not do their homework correctly. It's like a story, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to share this with you guys quickly, and then I'm going to let you chime in. Here in Marietta, Georgia, an individual, and Janet, you probably remember the story, an individual robbed a GameStop store. You know what he did? He took tape and he bind the employees, their wrists, and put tape across their mouth and their nose. They suffocated to death. He didn't think they would die, did he? He had a gun. He didn't think they would die. I mean, think about this. He just felt like, you know, keep them from yelling or whatever. I'll just put tape over their mouth and noses. But they suffocated. And there was a manhunt for this guy. At the time, I lived in an apartment complex here, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm sitting on my patio on my computer, and all of a sudden I see these cars roll up, which cops normally drive, at least here in Georgia, like Ford, whatever brand, unmarked. They pull up. Next thing I know, here come other cops. Here comes this big van with, you know, SWAT, and they go to this building. He's not there. Obviously, the person, because this is a complex that has different buildings and units, obviously that person must have said, no, he goes over here. And here they are with the damn laser beams at the windows and everything, and it's like 15 SWAT individuals go over there. And I'm watching this from my window. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Come to find out the whole story, and across the street from the apartment complex that I lived in was a motel, like not really directly across the street, but like two blocks up. That's where they found him. Now, the guy who did the robbery, when he taped these folks up, he wasn't trying to kill them. But damn, your actions, what you did, wound up to be murder. It wasn't intentional. But your actions killed two people. And he was found guilty for murder. He didn't intend to kill them. He was trying to shut them up. But a person who has a gun and shoots an unarmed individual, yes, you did intend to kill them. Because a gun is used for only one thing, to kill. A roll of tape is not. With that being said, what do you guys think?
Think
about stand your ground. About stand your ground.
I think it's a lot of BS when it comes to stand your ground, because it's not equalized when it comes to people of color. You know, I think that it's a double standard. You know, I was still thinking about the Breonna Taylor, you know, because the postal inspector told the police that there was no suspicious packages going there to that house, but they went there anyway, you know. So I was also thinking about the person that you said called in and said that, you know, she caused it or was guilty. Well, you know, I don't think so. But stand your ground. I have not liked the way that went about with George Zimmerman, you know, because he even tried to sue the family for defamation of character. The judge threw it out.
Correct.
But, I mean, you know, they lost their son over some BS. because you were following him, and then you're going to say they you want to sue the family?
Correct. And it goes back to this. Now, hold on, hold on. That's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard in my life. You were told by the dispatcher, do not proceed with the individual. You were told by law mm-hmm. enforcement. Okay, and whether people realize it or not, 911 are not like the operators of any damn company that you call. 911 are sworn officers. That's a direct order from a sworn officer, okay? I have friends who are 911 officers. In fact, one has been on our show, Janet, you remember. She gave you a direct order, he violated a direct order from a sworn officer and went ahead and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. How come that was not brought up or really went into the case? Well, I blame the prosecution. Because mm-hmm. from that point, that piece of tape of when they told him that, he violated law. He should have been charged for something, for the fact that he did not listen to a sworn law enforcement officer. Well, that's where I come back to this stand your ground thing. It's going to be a major problem because if you look at what's happening now in the past few years, you're seeing a lot of folks claiming, well, I was standing my ground. Based on what? Because someone said something to you? Because somebody threw a bag of popcorn at you? And that verdict of this former sergeant, a well-liked and respected pillar of the community, decided to shoot a young man dead for the fact, and you guys need to do your research, for the fact that this man is sitting in the movie theater texting on his phone. He wasn't talking. Texting on his phone. This officer is sitting behind him with his wife. The man who's texting is with his wife. Felt agitated because the light of his phone was disturbing his viewing. The movie hadn't even freaking started yet. And he tells him, you need to stop using your phone. He wasn't talking. He was texting before the feature even started. The retired officer goes and complains to management. If you don't know the story, you can look it up. Comes back, and then there's some words said, and the man throws the bag of popcorn at him. The officer shoots him dead. Over texting and popcorn, you're allowed to murder? Hmm. What kind of country are we living in now? To be honest, and I got the check of where it's a thing of where privilege of the fact that where here's what I understand is that standing your ground due to a verbal threat by an unarmed person. Or that they threw a bag of popcorn, you look at it where a person that has a person that's weak, money, credibility, and legacy, that has money, credibility, and a legacy means more than justice. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
If you got the money, you can get off. If people feel like, well, he's credible of not being, that type of person, they think, well, his background, his legacy, there's no way you could convict him of this. He's such a good guy, Honestly, he must have been in fear of his life. He's a freaking police officer. a bag of popcorn is going to make you have fear for your life. And though we've talked about this case before, but I'm looking at the other cases that are coming up based on Stand Your Ground. I want to go back to the Marcus Wilson case that is going on. As I said, Marcus Wilson, when it came to the shooting at the truck that struck a 17-year-old girl, he was in fear of his life, and he tried to plead the fact that he was standing his ground. Keep in mind, Marcus Wilson is black. His girlfriend is white. And here's the thing that got me. Court TV broadcast trials live, but the judge, for some odd reason, said, oh, well, Court TV, you can have your cameras in here, but you can't broadcast this live. Why is that? How come this trial cannot be broadcast live like any other trial? I mean, I'm trying to understand that one. And I haven't heard the reasoning why the judge felt like this case should not be shown live. Got to be something. He ain't shared it. Shouldn't we question it?
Yep.
Think about it, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done. Janet, if you want to go ahead and respond, but I'm just like, that makes no sense.
Well, all the trials that just recently happened, besides the young man who had the AR-15 and it was not guilty, you know, it's been a more of a positive thing when it came to actually pressing charges because someone really did something that wasn't right. You know, just like when we covered Ahmaud Arbery, you know, the three men, they were found guilty for the first trial that was state and then for the federal for, you know, it being a, like a hate crime because they had evidence of the things that they had posted on Facebook.
Prior and after, right? So it did.
And so maybe that's why the judge don't want cameras in the courtroom, you know.
Well, he's a
I don't think that the person is going to get a fair trial.
No, no, what I'm saying is that he's allowing the cameras in the courtroom
but
they can't broadcast it live. To me, what is the difference? No, that's what it is. He's saying that Court TV can record the trial and play it, you know, after the day's proceedings, right?
Mm.
You know, but what difference does that make? You're still going to show it, but you can't show it live. I mean, I'm trying to understand why is that? What's the significance, I guess, of delaying, you know, what's being shown? Let it be recorded. I don't understand that. This is the first time I've ever heard of that being done. But you have to look at it. This is a racially motivated trial. Now, from what I understand, Mr. Wilson comes from a family that has some, you know, political or law enforcement background. You know, maybe that might be an issue. Is that possible? Maybe so.
It said his father was a fire chief.
A fire chief, right. So he works for, you know, the city government, right? So that might be an issue. I don't know. But as I always say, that we're going to always follow up on these things, and hopefully we can get some answers and also do research of, has this ever been done before? I've never heard of it whatsoever. Cotton, you've been quiet. What's your thoughts about that as far as the judge saying, well, you can't broadcast this case live, when many other cases have been broadcast live. But this particular case, of a black man who has a white girlfriend shoots at a vehicle, strikes a 17-year-old girl who dies. He just got bond yesterday, and the judge says, well, we can't broadcast this case. You can record it and play it later. Do you have any questions about that whole thing?
No, it just sounds like he's trying to do damage control. Like,
okay.
If it's human lives, then immediately they'll know what's happening. And, you know, there's always issues when something like this happens in the community where they start rioting and tearing up stuff and, you know, depending on how it goes. So it sounds like he was trying to do damage control. That's just my perspective.
Correct. I understand that. And that's a good, I like that you use that term, damage control, or better yet, in my perspective is, I guess it's like where you're, well, yeah, damage control, trying to make sure there's no rioting or this and the other, as you just said. But this case, though it's racially motivated like any other, what do you think he looks at that points out this being more of a problem than other racial cases?
Maybe because, you know, I'm thinking maybe because it's involving an actual couple, because most of the
black guy and a white girlfriend, and the black guy kills a white girl. Go ahead and say it. That's probably what the difference is compared to any other case that we've seen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call you on that. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and open up another mic. I'm glad that he's back joining us on Saturdays from time to time when available. But, you know, always love to have law enforcement here, the one and only Mr. Jeffrey Crenshaw. Officer Crenshaw, what's up, my brother? How you doing? God bless and happy Saturday.
Hey, Crenshaw. Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? I've been listening. I just the political aspect of it, you know, it makes me sick. And then the stand your ground law, you know, for every action, there's a reaction. You know, no matter who you are, like you said, Mike, it's privilege and entitlement. No matter what your skin color is, you're privileged or entitled, no matter what your job title is. But in this particular situation with the judge, right, it's damage control. Plus, judges have a tendency to make statements and say things that they normally ordinarily would not say, but because of the pressure of the case. And he's looking at the fact that if one of the attorneys, prosecutor or defense or himself, makes a statement and it's being broadcast live, now he's got all the civil rights activists, because the media has already told them, because it was being broadcasted live, what's being said, which happened in the Aubrey case, where they didn't want any black pastors. So you can make any statement you want in court until they step out of court, but if it's being broadcasted, you're going to get all of them right back there again. And he doesn't want his courtroom or his courthouse to be in the same light.
Okay, yeah, I have myself on mute. You know, I do mute myself, by the way, you guys. I understand that point. I do. But I still look at why did this judge all of a sudden, based on this case, make that decision. And now I'm glad to hear that this young man did get a chance to bond out, you know, based on this particular case. Some folks don't get the opportunity, but I'm glad he had a chance to bond out, because stand your ground law is not just a law for white folks. and I'm not trying to sound racist, but hell, that's been the majority of them. Most of your standing ground cases have been white individuals stating stand your ground. As I said, I'll say again, we all pretty much learned about that through the Trayvon Martin case. And all of a sudden, here's a windfall of stand your ground laws everywhere in the country that has that on their books. Correct me if I'm wrong. And there's a lot of times where, unfortunately, it don't even go to trial. Where the district attorney says, oh, well, they were in their right. There was some, or chief of police says, well, you know, he was in total fear and everything. You remember the one where the young man who pushed the guy to the ground, who walked up to his girlfriend's car, pushed him to the ground, the old white guy pulls out a gun and shoots and kills him. They weren't going to even try that case. But lo and behold, it was like, no, wait a minute. We got to look at this again. And justice was done. The guy was convicted of murder. You can't shoot and kill somebody for pushing you. You can't shoot and kill somebody for spitting on you. You can't shoot and kill somebody for cussing you out or throwing a bag of fucking popcorn in your face. You can't kill people for those things.
And that's even more of a reason why he should have been charged, because as a retired law enforcement officer, he has the training, the knowledge, and the experience.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's what the prosecution was saying, of that where of his many years of being in law enforcement, you know, he should have been the better man. He should have been the better man and not allow his, because in my opinion, he felt disrespected and humiliated in front of his wife. Because keep in mind, remember now, if you don't know the whole aspects of the case, the guy did not approach the officer. The officer got mad because he was texting on his phone.
Yeah,
before the movie
started, and someone spit in my face, and because I was in uniform, I had to walk away, step back.
Right.
Now, I had not been in uniform, I would have slapped the dog snot out of
him. You did right.
But
you had that right.
So I had to step back.
Mm-hmm.
Him being retired, he's got to learn. The first thing is he knows de-escalation. When he left to go complain to the manager and the manager wasn't doing anything, walk his happy ass out of the movie theater telling him he wanted his money back.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that crossed my mind, you know, when I thought about this, because I think about that case, and keep in mind, you guys, I'm not a law professor. I'm not a scholar in law or whatever. I don't. I just watch, and I look at what is right and wrong, and I do my research based on the laws, because laws are different in different states. We have to keep that in mind. Based on,
but Michael,
you know.
Ow.
But I want to say this. I just want to say this just real quick.
Popcorn.
But what I learned is this, is that where, you know, when you look at these type of things, and look at the states, look at the map. It tells you what states do have stand your ground laws. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And sadly, what's going to happen is going to be a ripple effect, in my opinion. It's going to be a ripple effect that people are going to feel like they're entitled to use deadly force for the simplest battery. Okay? For battery. Simple battery.
But explain how a bucket of popcorn can be considered a deadly weapon. Too much salt and the salt got in your eyes and burned, or, you know, not enough butter. I can't understand that. And I'm
that's
retired
exactly
law enforcement.
Right, but that's exactly my point. Jeff, that's exactly my point. Here's what scares me is that you have a society now that are excusing, especially with this stand your ground law, of a person where they feel like, I was in fear of my life because of a bag of popcorn. I was in fear of my life because they spit on me. That's what I'm saying. And right now, with these type of cases, and due to the fact, now look, had that been you or me, well, you're former law enforcement. I don't know what the outcome would have been for you. You're still black. So it probably would have been where you would have been found guilty due to the fact that you're black. Okay, you're African American. A little lighter on complexion, but you're still a black man, right? Had that been you or me to shoot and kill a person for throwing a bag of popcorn, I would be in jail right now.
And
this
that,
officer,
that
the sergeant's background and his and the fact that he, you know, and it took 8 years, 8 freaking years to come to trial. Somebody paid a lot of money to let this lag on for a long period of time. The reason why I know is that because of the fact that I've been involved in courts and I've been in trouble with the law. And when you do get a chance to let it lag on longer and longer, gives you time to go ahead and pay for the best. It gives you time to work out deals and all that type of shit. It all plays into this whole so-called justice system. To be in favor of a guy who was 71 years old, I think, at the time. 8 years later, he finally comes to trial. He's walking with a cane now. He's playing the role now, okay? But after the verdict, hell, you didn't see that cane, right? He's okay now. You know, but he was a member of law enforcement, and we come to believe that where anyone who serves the community, not saying you personally, that does something wrong, there's no way we can convict them for doing wrong. Now, with the Potter case, the officer who killed the young man, she was sentenced 2 years for murder. This is murder, you guys. We're talking about murder. You took someone's life, an unarmed individual's life. Breonna Taylor, her life was taken, unarmed individual. And no one is going to be accountable for her death. That's what scares the shit out of me. And we need to understand why is this happening. Unarmed people are getting killed by law enforcement, by other individuals who want to claim, oh, well, I was afraid of the... Well, shit, they didn't brandish no gun. You had one. You were trained to use one. You spent 40 years as an officer, and you decide to kill a person in a movie theater because they were texting on their fucking phone, and you're found guilty for murder? That's the scary thing, you guys, and that's my question.
Mike,
how do we condone this shit?
It also has to do with the attorneys. You know, they manipulate the wording of the law to mean something different other than what it was meant based on their client, whether they're prosecuting or whether they're defending. And that's how, because personally, black, white, green, purple, or blue, shooting somebody for throwing a bag of popcorn in my face, I know my ass will be under the jail, no matter what color I am. Just because I know the attorneys here, the prosecuting attorneys here, I know how hard they are.
Okay. And... is there more you want to add?
No, I'm just saying as a retired law enforcement officer, I don't get it. I'm not saying I wish anybody to go to jail, but, you know, all have to accept responsibility for our actions. I was raised up that way. If I did something wrong on, you know, mom always said the truth will set you free. You tell the truth on what you did and why you did it and not make shit up. You know, God don't handle the rest.
Well, the retired officer, I mean, when you look at his first, when he first, when they first questioned him 8 years ago, and I mean, honestly, you guys, you don't have to do it, but I recommend that you do it. Go back and listen to what he said, what was recorded, what he said, what had occurred. Then listen to what he claims later on. It's been 8 freaking years, and his story changes. But now this man, due to who he was, his age, okay, he got off of the murder of an individual. And the thing is, I want to say is this. Think about the man who was killed, who was minding his own business with his wife. Just like the officer who murdered him, he was in the movie theater with his wife. And he's just texting. He ain't talking. He's texting. And a person behind you wants to say something about you having your phone in your hand, not talking on it, just texting, has an issue with it, complains about it, goes to the movie management to complain about you texting. And next thing you know, you guys are having words over you doing something that you can do in a movie theater. As long as your phone don't ring or whatever. He said the light was, the illumination of the light from his phone was distracting him. The main feature hadn't even started. It don't even matter. Imagine the guy who's dead now. Do you think for 1 minute this shit, do you think that for 1 minute he would be like, you know, today I'm going to lose my life because I'm texting on my damn phone? How many of us are somewhere where we don't use our phone to talk, but we will text? That's the reason for texting, not to talk, not to speak. How many of us would imagine that someone would shoot and kill you, even approach you, and you wind up dead for doing something that you have the right to do? Imagine it. I mean, think about it. It makes no, I'm sorry, fucking sense. This officer, this individual, had no reason to even approach or say anything to this man for texting on his phone. You have the right to text. When you're in a movie theater, what they're telling you is that, hey, look, don't talk on your phone. Don't, you know, turn off your ringer, you know, and everything. But the thing is, that it still turns off devices. True enough, it does say that. This individual had no reason to approach that man for texting on his phone. Not at all. It should not have went to that level. It should have never got to that point. Because now we got a man who is dead. His wife sat there and watched him get shot in front of her face over texting and a bag of popcorn. You gonna say?
Yes, I read an article. It was by Every Town Research. Anyway, they said Stand Your Ground law is a license to kill. Shoot first and ask questions later. Stand Your Ground gives people a license to kill, allowing those who shoot others to obtain immunity, even if they started the confrontation. And even when they can safely de-escalate the situation and walk away, they shoot first. So that law is a dangerous law.
That's my point. That, this Stand Your Ground law is really taking us back into Western, you know, like the Western days. You could just shoot somebody and then say, well, I was in fear of my life. Well, what did they do? They threw a bag of popcorn at me. They cussed me out. They threatened me and my kids. They said, I'll come to your house and blow your head off. Now, keep in mind, they ain't got no weapon. A verbal threat is a verbal threat.
And
so
they also
the right,
say that.
That's what I'm saying. Do I have the right to pull out my gun and shoot this person dead and say, well, I'm standing my ground on what basis? Because he said he's going to come to my house. Did he come to your house? No. But he said he was going to. Well, that's speculation.
But Michael, they also say that the Stand Your Ground law is skewed unfairly against people of color, you know, because if a white person uses it, they normally get away with Stand Your Ground, but when a black person uses it, it doesn't work.
Well, that's where we go back to Mr. Wilson, who tried to use, who wanted to be use immunity and plead Stand His Ground when the individuals in the truck here in Georgia tried to run him off the road, him having a white girlfriend, racial epithets allegedly were said, and he shot at the truck because they tried to run him off the road. And so the judge ruled that, well, no, you can't use the Stand Your Ground. So the case will go forward. He is being bonded out. I want to open up a mic, and right now this time is 7:32 p.m. We have a little under 30 minutes left on the show because we have a couple more things we want to talk about in a fun way. And then there's another story I want to share with you guys and see what your thoughts are. But 816-915, you wave your hand. Welcome to the TMGS. What's your name, where are you calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Hey, it's Lady Justice. How you doing?
Lady Justice, hey, sweetheart, how you doing?
Good.
You came in at the right time.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
So I don't have a question. I have a little story. And it's kind of, since some of you know a little bit about my story, but instead of resorting to violence for me all the time, in a stand your ground situation, I had a cable guy come over, and he actually wanted to access my pole to get to somebody else's cable. But I was in the backyard, and I have this big old fenced-in yard, and the gate was open. So he walked on in with his big old ladder, and then I said, excuse me, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I'm about to get on this pole back here and turn on and do something back there. And I said, is it for me? He said, no, it's not for you. I said, well, then I'm going to need you to walk back out my gate and ask me if you can enter my property. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, oh, you're not? He said, no, I have the right to be here. I said, oh, okay. So I walked up to every single gate I had and locked all of them. I locked all the gates. And my husband was getting upset. He was getting antsy. He wanted to hurt this man. I said, no. Watch how we're going to deal with it. It's going to be real peaceful when we're done. So he gets done climbing up the pole, and now he goes back to the fence to get out. So he says, excuse me, can you let me out? I said, well, you told me you have the right to be in here, so you should have a key. Use your ladder.
Climb back over, huh?
Right. You're supposed to be here. Get out. So he got up and he put his ladder down and he called his boss. Well, so did I, because I asked and he didn't do it. So to me, that's trespassing. I called AT&T and said, hey, your guy's out here in my yard. I asked him to leave. He wouldn't leave. And so I locked the gate. And they said, well, call the police. So what did I do next? I called the police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to report trespassing in my yard. When the police got here, they tried to tell me some little story about, well, you know, he's able to come inside. He can access from this amount of
time.
Yeah, but we are talking about my front yard to my backyard. Like, I have three addresses. But you can't, it's not like right off the street where you're going to get to my pole. You have to walk all the way in my property to get there.
Right.
So they were trying to explain to me why he had the right to do it. While he's still
right.
in my fence, y'all, with me. Still in here, alive in my fence. I said, well, all I'm saying is while we're having this discussion, this man is still in my yard, and he's not supposed to be here. And then he said, the police asked, are you done? He was like, yeah, but she won't let me out. So remember, we're standing at the front of the fence. I have a whole other section. He said, the police said, well, can you let him out? I said, yeah, if you walk all the way back down to the middle where the entry is, I'll let you out.
But ladies, I have to ask you a question. How did that come about that? Because obviously what I'm listening to this story is that there's more than just one cable line connected to that pole. They would not put that pole there if they weren't trying to, you know, branch off to other areas or other homes, right? How did that come about, that pole being on your property? You know, and has that ever been a issue in the past of when people
needed? It's never been an issue in the past. That pole is not even on my property. In the person's backyard that wanted the AT&T, but they couldn't access it from their side because they had a dog or something.
They had to come through your property in order to access it. Right. Now I get it. It's not on your property. It's just that they came through your property. Because that's where he felt like that's the easiest way to get to the pole. I get it now.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting story. Yeah. Because you want to take the shortest.
That could have ended a whole bunch of different ways. Because if I had been white and he had been black doing that same thing, that scenario would have been different, and we all know that.
Now, he was a white guy, right? I'm assuming.
Yes, he was.
Okay, so that's how come it went down the way that it did. Okay, that's an interesting story because, as you said, the pole was not on your property, but they accessed your property to get to the pole. Now, that's interesting for all you guys that are listening. And he did not take the initiative to address you about, hey, look, I'm doing this. I need to, the best way for me to do my job is to access your property to do what I have to do. Simple thing he could have done.
That's
right?
All. That's all it would have taken, and I would have let him access it anyway.
He just went ahead and did it.
You just can't come on my property and do that.
Right. Okay, I'll follow you. And you got to be careful who comes on your property because there's a lot of individuals who wear uniforms that are not really employees of the company, right?
See?
It could be a set.
Exactly.
And it still goes back to where, as I said, there's other cases that you guys of where, you know, like the one of the young man being shot by the officers who busted him to the home and, you know, he reached for his gun because white America probably don't understand as to where, I don't know if it happens in their areas, but in some communities, individuals will dress up like police and bust in your home, you know, and they're not really the police, and rob you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Maybe kill you. You know, that happens in America. So you can't trust anyone who just comes into your home yelling police. You just can't. That's what happens
every day. You can't
trust someone that's
just driving a car.
Right. Every day, right, there might be a vehicle that looks like a police car, but they're not the police. And I've seen many of videos, I've read many stories, that shit happens every day.
More than we want to say.
Right. Lady Justice, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. And I was hoping for you to chime in early on some of the other topics like last week. But, hey, look, I only have about 20 minutes left. I want to go ahead and go into a couple of other things that maybe we could squeeze these topics in. Maybe not. But what I want to look at is or address is what's happening with – hold on a minute. I'm sorry. Janet, I'm not able to pull it up. Can you pull it up, the last one that we talked about? Hold on. I'm trying to do it. Bear with me. And you guys, please bear with me. We try to work on
a ton of topics.
Hold on. We did Breonna Taylor. I'm looking at the itinerary. Oh. Hold on. You guys bear with me just a moment. Okay. So I want to end on this one here. I want to go into a couple of them, actually, just to have fun. But then again, this is not fun. Have you guys seen the story about Morris Day and the Time? This is a musical thing. Yesterday, Morris Day posted that the Prince estate has given him notification that he can no longer use the name Morris Day and the Time. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I attend a lot of concerts, and I've seen Morris Day and the Time almost every summer here with a group of other artists, right? You know, those funk festivals type thing. It could be Cameo, this and that and the other. I mean, I love watching these groups perform during the summer at outdoor, indoor events. Most of them are outdoor. And Morris Day and the Time have been, you know, over 40 years. I want to share with you what I'm trying to pull it up, what Morris posted. And this is really sad because you kind of wonder, for what reason would the Prince estate would ban him from using a name that has, or a brand, not the name, it's a brand. Why would they do this? Why would they take away what he spent 40 years to create? Now, you all are being very quiet, but I'm like, I know you know who the hell Morris Day and the Time is, right? This is going to affect this man. I mean, seriously, you guys are being quiet. But this guy has created a brand. You know his antics. You know how he performs and everything. He's worked hard at doing this. And after, what, 6 years, I think it's been, since Prince died, Prince would not approve of this. I really don't think so. Would not approve of this. Does anybody have any thought process about it? Because obviously you don't know about this. I don't think any of you know about this. From this point on, history is being destroyed. It's being removed.
Right.
I mean, all of you know who Morris Day and the Time is. Come on now, stop being quiet. What's your thought process? Do you think this is right or wrong?
It's wrong. Thank you.
We all agree on the fact it's wrong. But what do you think is the reason why they're doing this?
Greed, control.
Right. I was just reading, and he said that he had given 40 years of his life building up a name and legacy, you know, and now they're taking it away from him. I don't think, you know, I don't think that's good at all. They should at least give him a reason for, he said he put his blood, sweat, and tears into bringing value in that name, you know, and he had booked several tours that was going to be coming up in that name.
Okay, so let me go ahead and share this with everybody if you haven't read it or don't have any idea of understanding it. This is from the official More Stay in the Time page, which I only deal with the official. According to the Prince Estate handlers, I can no longer use the name More Stay and the Time. I've given 40 years of my life building up a name and legacy that Prince and I came up with. I named that while he was alive, he had no problem with me using. I literally put my blood, sweat, and tears into bringing value to that name. In fact, he booked me on several tours and many jam-packed nights at Paisley Park under the name Morris Day and the Time. Not once ever saying to me that I couldn't use that name configuration. However, now that Prince is no longer with us, suddenly the people who control his multi-million dollar estate want to rewrite history by taking my name away from me, thus impacting how I feed my family. So, as of now, per the Prince estate, I can no longer use Morris Day and the Time, any capacity. Now, let me tell you guys something. This ain't the first time this bullshit has happened in the music industry over name rights. And that's what it's coming down to. It's coming down to name rights. Excuse me?
I was going to say proceeds from his concerts and stuff based off name rights going back to Prince's
the estate,
family.
To the
right.
Estate, right. And
so
then keep in mind. No, go ahead.
He'll always be Morris Day. But can he use Morris Day and the group formerly known as Time?
He probably can do that. He probably can. But why should
Prince
he?
Changed his name a couple of times, so.
Right.
I mean.
But, okay. So let's do this. There was a time where actually the Time changed their name to the original Seven. Y'all remember that?
I didn't know.
Okay,
no.
Do your research. Yeah, the original Seven. They changed their name to the original Seven. Now, I don't know if that was a dispute with the label or with them and Prince. I don't think it was with them and Prince. But do the research. Yes, the Time was actually called the Original Seven, and they actually released a couple of tracks under that name.
Yeah.
And one track I really liked. In fact, Cotton, you remember that. And then all of a sudden they went back to the Time, and then they went back to Morris Day and the Time. Because, see, originally it was called the Time. The Time. Later on,
I remember
it became Morris Day and the Time because he's the featured individual. I'm sorry, Officer Crenshaw, I think you were saying something.
No, I was saying I remember when it was the Time, but I didn't know it was this. I didn't know the other name.
The original Seven? Right. Because as you were saying, when Prince had the issue with Warner Brothers and he went by the artist formerly known as Prince, and he went by that symbol, okay? Right. Well, the Time did pretty much almost the same thing, they just went by the original seven. There was some kind of issue with the labels at that time. And I really want to do, you know, in fact, I'd love for you guys to help me out, for us to do some investigation on this, of not just with the Prince thing, we already know about that, but how did the time come with this? And why at this point in time, after the years after Prince had died, passed away, that the label wants to say, well, Morris, you guys can't use that name anymore. I understand folks are saying, well, he's Morris Day. He could, look, you worked 40 years for that name. You worked 40 years for that brand, B-R-A-N-D, that brand. You didn't work 40 years to change. You didn't do that. To all of a sudden change your name. Hell, I ain't done this to change my name numerous times, but hell, I have. But I stick with TMGS, and I'm not going to change. I had NML. TMGS, I'm not going to change. And even though there's hackers, you know, I've dealt with, I'm going to still keep TMGS because that's what people know our show for. I'm not going to all of a sudden change it up and then you're confused who the hell we are. You have to stand your ground at some point and stick to what you work for. And I follow what Morris is saying. Follow what it's saying. 40 years. Mm-mm. And my question is, why is the label why is the estate doing this? Morris Day posted also, what did Arsenio Hall say in the movie Coming to, well, he didn't say this, but I'm just going to read it. What did Arsenio Hall say in, quote, Coming to America? His mama named him Clay. I'ma call him Clay, unquote. Well, my mama named me Morris, and my band is The Time. Did you all catch that? That's interesting. We know Cassius Clay, but he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. But he's still Cassius Clay in birth. The Time is still The Time in birth, or the conception of that group. You can't change that history. And I mentioned before was someone, well, in fact, it was you, Cotton, that said something about owning a name. Yeah, you can. It's branding. And there's many of groups that I've known for many years, and they've been on the show. You look at where Lakeside, which was which their music still plays forever, Lakeside, Mark Wuss, the lead singer, took that brand. And so he has a band called Lakeside. Well, he don't have the whole band, the original band members, and he's changed the whole look. Now, here's the deception of the fans of Lakeside. When they hear that Lakeside in concert, get your tickets now, blah, 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 this and the other, it's not the whole band. It's Mark Woods and who he calls Lakeside. Whole different setup of guys. So the original members, who are all still intact, got a new lead vocalist, and they call themselves the original Lakeside. Shalimar. There was a battle in court between the name of Shalimar, between Carolyn Griffey, who's been on the show, Miss Carrie Lucas, who is the matriarch of Solar Records. Her husband started Solar Records and came up with the name Shalimar. Well, Jody Watley felt like she owned the rights. She went and for the rights, got the rights, but then there were some legal aspects that came about that it was not legitimate. And so what happens is that Jody Watley has Shalimar Reloaded. But the original members, meaning I won't say the original, but the ones that made the hits, meaning Howard Hewitt, Jeffrey Daniels, is with Carolyn Griffey, who was the daughter of Dick Griffey. And I know the whole story, how that all went down. I think she shared it and everything. But here's a battle again over names, over brand. The list goes on and on. Climax, there's like three groups called Climax. There's the Daz Band. There's, you know, two or three Daz Band groups. What happened with many other groups. But this stuff needs to stop.
Those are all groups, but I think because of that, they've changed. Because I spoke to a trademark attorney, and he said that you cannot these days do that because there's no way to exclusively stop somebody from using your name. Because
well,
I wanted to trademark my name to keep people from using my name, because when I created the name Cotton, no one had it. It did not exist. And now if you Google just Cotton, it's quite a few out there now, just not Cotton Campbell.
Well, right. It depends on the wording and everything, right? And we're down to just 3 minutes. I just looked at the clock. But and for you guys who are on the Internet, the show may end simultaneously or in a moment. I'll probably keep my individuals who are on the phone line on for us. It's kind of like, thank you so much for tuning in to the TMGS. Make sure you tune in next Saturday for more conversation, more great topics. And then come March the 19th, we're going to have fun. We have a special guest, the one and only Mr. Trust me, he's been on the show before. Ellison Kendrick is going to join us with some new music. And that's going to be a fun Saturday for a special reason. More coming here on TMGS. All right, so you guys, I'm going to go ahead and shut down the Internet. And for you guys who are still here on the board, I just want you to go ahead and share a few more things before we go. With that being said, hey, you guys, thank you on the Internet side. Thank you on the chat side. And we'll see you next Saturday here on The Michael Gay Show as we continue. But I have to ask you this, though, Cotton. If you have a name, right, and you you go ahead and you register the name, you get a, you know, of course, all that, but you're protected that no one else can use that. Now, I don't know what the attorney that you talked to was telling you, but. But, like, I can't take the name Coca-Cola and use it, right?
Right.
Got me, Sue.
I mean,
well, okay.
Like I said, I believe the information that he was giving me was more current, because this just, I just went through this last year with trying to get my name trademarked so no one else could use it. And that was the information that he gave me, is that, you know, it's just, every time you turn around, you'd be in court trying to stop somebody from using your name.
Mm-hmm.
Because you literally, like, it's millions of people. So if somebody decided to use the name Coca-Cola, every time you turn around, Coca-Cola is going to be in court trying to stop somebody from using the name. But, you know, those are older companies. These currently, I believe he was giving me current information that it can't be done anymore.
Well, I think there's a difference because I looked into it of where you register and trademark. Follow me? A registered name and a trademark name. I think a registered name is based on, and I may be wrong, a registered name is based on a name that can't be used for a product or a service once you submit it you've proven that it's unique. A trademark, meaning like a logo that you can't use once it's been, you know, bought or acquired by a person. Now, like my logo, I own that logo, TMGS. I own that. And you can own a logo through different means, okay, because you don't have to necessarily go through certain things, but if you have proof of where that you have the original document and that you have it through a website or anything like that, it shows it is original to you. You follow me?
Yeah.
So
it's registered as a business, yes. It is a difference. So if I register my name as a business, no one can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can't be two names.
Go ahead.
It can't be two names. It can't be two businesses under the name Cotton Campbell or Cotton LLC or whatever. But they could use Cotton something else, LLC. You see what I'm saying? So the first part of the name still is not privy to me. Someone else could typically use it and add something onto it to make it their own, but it's still not exclusive to me.
Right. The name is okay. I follow you. The name is not exclusive, but it has to have something of where there's a differentiality of the two businesses.
Correct.
You feel me?
Right.
You can't have the same logo. You can't, I mean, like, say, for instance, if I were to say, if you spell, like, you spell your name Cotton with a K, Campbell, and you have a background that's in red and white, I can't do the exact same thing. There has to be something that differentiates your business to mine, right?
Right.
But you can still use the same name and the same spelling. Just has to be something where it's not, as far as the coloring of the background or this, that, and the other, it's not similar. Am I right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Right. I know that because I've done the background and said, okay, because they said, send us what your logo is going to look like, and they will tell you, nah, you can't do that because it looks too much like this other person who has who's doing a business under the same name. And their background looks exactly like yours. Now you got to change yours. That's true.
Right. But like with for Morris Day and the time, he could still use Morris Day. He would just have to change the back part of it and make it his own. He shouldn't have to do that. I'm just saying. But he shouldn't really have to do that because this has been here for a long time.
Well, the time is spelled T-I-M-E. What if he put a Y in there?
Right.
Would that make a because see, as I said, a brand is so important. Your brand is more important than anything else that you do. Once your brand gets out there, and that's what you're doing. Morris Day spent 40 years doing Morris Day in the time. And for them to say you can't use it, what other options does he have? Just Morris Day? No, that time has to be connected to Morris Day and the time. Because that gives you two things. Remember, there were two entities here. Initially, it was the time. Then Morris Day did his own thing, right? Then they got back, you know, together as the time with different members or musicians. Then the originals came back. Okay, then they changed their name to the original Seven. Then they came back as Morris Day and the Time. I mean, there were so many changes in 40 years. And for me, it's amazing that they managed to persevere is the bottom line. They managed to persevere. And for the Prince estate to do something that I truly, and I think many other Prince fans and Time fans, feel like it's totally wrong to say he can't use this name anymore. After 40 years that he built this brand. 40 years he spent in his life. That's wrong.
Yeah, something it should be.
You robbing him
something
of his
should have been there to protect him.
Well, I think this is not going to be the last that we hear of this. I truly don't think this will be the last.
I don't think so. Either.
I think there's more because I'm seeing a lot of folks who are posting. I'm looking at folks who are saying that, hey, look, I'm signing the petition. I find it.
Yeah.
And in respect, you know, because, you know, we got to keep in mind that the more that I don't know who is in charge of the Prince estate. I really don't know. I don't know what family members are actually handling this. But frankly, I don't care. But hearing this news that you're taking away,
right.
I mean, Morris is what, probably maybe 50-something? Okay. I mean, I give all kudos and respect for the fact that he gets out there every time on stage. Him and I even posted this. Look at the jobs that you are taking away every time he goes on tour. Think about that.
Right.
You're taking away the job for the band, the employment,
mm-hmm.
I should say, the band, the money that is being made off of, you know, the promotions, people who does that, the stage hands, the lighting technicians, the sound technicians, the venue that has to hire folks to, you know, sell the tickets and all the T-shirts and this and the other. You know, just a host of things every time they will come to town. You are diminishing jobs. You're taking away jobs. Now imagine another artist who has to go through all this. They're not going to be able to play at that venue. So you're depleting entertainment that is making money. And let alone the hotels, the restaurants in the local area when these groups perform that are making money on those nights of these shows. You're taking that away. And that's what they depend on. Every summer, these outdoor venues are booking artists left and right. Morris Day and the Time has been a no-fail every summer here in Georgia, right, or in the Atlanta area. And that's money. That's revenue for that area. And now you just shut that shit off. Does that make sense? When people are trying
mm-hmm.
to get jobs.
And you're taken
sense.
Away from yeah.
the communities, right, and the venues. You're taken away.
And I don't think there's no real reason for it. He's actually 64, but I don't think that there's no real reason except for greed. Because why else would you bother this man who's been using his name for such a long time?
Yeah, 40 years. He's 64. I said 50-something. You know, I thought he was around my same age. Yeah, he's older than me. That's true. But 64, 60 years away from being 70. The man... at some point, it's going to retire. And all he does is just entertain, you know. And at 64, I got to give him credit to get out on stage and tour
mm-hmm.
and do these shows. And people still go to the show to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Look at the money that they're making the locations that he tours lose. They're losing money.
Mm-hmm.
They're shutting down jobs based on one artist. Imagine if they did this to four or five other artists.
Yeah.
Any label. It's taking away revenue from those venues in that city. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, hey, you guys, Janet Davis, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Any final words before we get out of here? Because I know we went overtime.
No. Not at all.
You sound enthusiastic, but thank you so much for saying no. I appreciate that. But, you know, we try our best to do our best, TMGS. And next Saturday, don't really have anything concrete, but trust and believe, as usual, we're going to have some great topics, great conversations, possibly a guest on the show, because that's what we do. And but on the 19th, for sure, we have a special guest. Again, I must remind you, is Ellison Kendrick will be joining us, and with some new music. And actually, that Saturday is a special celebration for me, and I thank God for it. And we're going to have fun, like we always do. Hey, you guys, thank you for tuning in to the TMGS. I want to thank my co-hosts, Janet Davis, Cotton Campbell, Officer Crenshaw, and also Timon Ship for joining us this Saturday. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Don't forget, dial 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Or join us at blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. Okay. I almost said my email address, but it's blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. If you don't want to talk, just join the chat room. Text your questions or comments, and we'll read them on the air. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy Sunday. Happy next week. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Peace and good night.